kutarisirwa kunetsana nevanhu kusvika vatosvika kumatare tasvika kumagumo echirongwa chedu ndokusiyai mina keep student.
Thanks, Blessing Zulu. Good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Saturday, April 11th, 2015. You are listening to Studio 7 live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Gibbs Dube. Here are our top stories this evening. ZANU-PF threatens to sue anyone who will use its name amid reports that a faction of the party led by former Vice President Joyce Mjuru is planning to launch a party named ZANU-PF People First.
It is up to the courts to give them the right to use the name. We certainly will be contesting that they can't use ZANU-PF when they are not in ZANU-PF. ZANU-PF is a brand. Let them find their own party and they give it a name.
Contenders for the coveted presidential post of the African Development Bank, including a Zimbabwean, are set to feature in a unique panel discussion in USA.
We will have 7 of the 8 candidates who are running for the presidency of the African Development Bank in the same room, physically, at the same time, here in Washington, D.C.
And more than 30 workers at the ethanol-producing company Green Fuel Private Limited have been fired for demanding outstanding salaries. Stay tuned. ZANU-PF threatens to sue anyone who will use its name amid reports that a faction of the party led by former Vice President Joyce Mjuru is planning to launch a party named ZANU-PF People First. ZANU-PF stalwart Paul Mangwana says it is legal for expelled party members to have a party with almost the same name as ZANU-PF. Disgruntled ZANU-PF members, including Mrs. Mjuru, were kicked out of the party before the party's congress last December. Mangwana tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu, this means that they are no longer part of ZANU-PF.
Whatever they want to say and call it, it is up to the courts to give them the right to use the name. We certainly will be contesting that they can't use ZANU-PF when they are not in ZANU-PF. ZANU-PF is a brand. Let them find their own party and they give it a name. They also wish, even if they call it ZANU, People Start, whatever they want to call it. There was ZANU Ndonga. It didn't have a following using the name ZANU. There's no magic in the name ZANU, definitely, although it's a brand. If you are not a ZANU Patriotic Front, you will not succeed.
But why would you then go and challenge the use of ZANU People's First, for example?
If they call it PF, this is why they are using People First, whatever, so that they continue to confuse the public by the abbreviation PF. People won't be able to distinguish which ZANU PF it is. Whether it's Patriotic Front or People First.
That was ZANU-PF stalwart Paul Mangwana speaking to Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare. Rukari Kumbo, one of the expelled party members who normally speaks on behalf of the ousted members, was not available for comment. They were accused of allegedly trying to topple President Robert Mugabe. Contenders for the coveted presidential post of the African Development Bank, including a Zimbabwean, are set to feature in a unique panel discussion in the United States of America. Rajesh Machindani, Director of Communications at the Center for Global Development, which will broadcast the event live on April 16th, says this is the first time that the 8 candidates will be facing each other before the crucial May 28 bank elections. Zimbabwe's Thomas Sakala is vying for the post of ADB president. He is the former vice president of the bank's branch in Zimbabwe. Machindani speaks with Studio 7 about the forthcoming live event in Washington, D.C.
So the Center for Global Development, along with the Institute of Economic Affairs and the African School of Economics, one in Benin and one in Ghana, are holding a very unique event in which we will have 7 of the 8 candidates who are running for the presidency of the African Development Bank in the same room, physically, at the same time, here in Washington, D.C., and they will have questions put to them by experts, including representatives of the governors of the bank, who will actually elect the president, and various other expert audience members, including people from academia, from governments, from think tanks, from NGOs. And they'll also face questions via video from audiences right across Africa. And what I find very exciting about it is that some of those people are ordinary people, the kind of people who might benefit from the leadership of the African Development Bank. So we're very excited about this event, which takes place in Washington, D.C., and can be viewed via our webcast at www.cgdev.org.
some people in Zimbabwe won't be able to watch it because of the problems with internet connectivity. But at the end of the day, does it mean that just a general person from the public can actually ask a question?
Because of technology, I think it's going to be difficult for people to ask questions live. And so what we've done, working with our media partners in Africa and our co-sponsors of the event, is that we have already reached out to many people and we have invited them to record video questions. And many of them are, for want of a better term, what we'd call ordinary people. And so we feel that we have represented that constituency already in the event. And bearing in mind that the event is 2 hours long and there are seven candidates involved, we're still waiting for confirmation from the eighth. That's a lot of people to get through. And so it means that even in 2 hours, the time we'll have will be filled up. And so we are quite limited in the actual number of questions we can ask.
There's a candidate from Zimbabwe and his name is Thomas Zete Sakala. Do you have a message for Zimbabweans about this?
My message to all people who are interested in the presidency of the African Development Bank is that it's important to put these candidates on the spot and to hear what their ideas are. What is their vision for the leadership in the future of the African Development Bank? And I really hope that as many people around the world and particularly across Africa will log on, if they're able, to www.cgdev.org and follow this important event online.
How important is this bank in Africa?
The bank is quite a crucial institution in terms of infrastructure development. It has 80 member countries, which is every country in Africa and many other countries around the world. And in 2013, it had operations within Africa that totaled more than $7 billion, U.S. equivalent. And that goes a long way to building the infrastructure that every survey we do in Africa tells us people across Africa really want. They want infrastructure, they want jobs, and the African Development Bank is an important institution in helping countries across Africa build the kind of infrastructure that their people need and their countries want.
That was Rajesh Machandani, Director of Communications at the Center for Global Development, speaking with Studio 7 from Washington, D.C. Other candidates vying for the post are from Nigeria, Chad, Cape Verde, Sierra Leone, Mali, and Tunisia. The current president of the bank is Rwandese Donald Kabaruka. More than 30 workers at the ethanol producing firm Greenfield Private Limited have been fired for demanding outstanding salaries. One of the fired workers, Tichaona Nambare, says some drivers, operators of combined harvesters and others now want their dues back dating to October last year. Nambare speaks to Studio 7 about how they were fired.
That one much. The reason was about money. We asked them to pay our salary as from last year, October, up to now. They didn't pay us our salaries.
How much did they owe you?
3 months of last year, so about 800 a month. Then this year, they slashed our salaries to about $450 from 800.
So when they told you to leave, what was the problem?
The problem was stayed away. Then they said you were not supposed to do that.
So now, at the end of the day, you wanted your salary to be paid and nothing else?
Yes.
And what was the response of the company?
They decided to suspend us for about 2 weeks. Then after 2 weeks, they said we should go back to work, but we refused because we were not given our money. We wanted our salaries. After that, then we go back to work.
And how many were you?
We were about 7 drivers and 23, 24 operators. They operate cane harvester. Then another one, they operate tractors that carry the cane to the plant.
Did you report your case to the Ministry of Labor?
We are now in process for that.
So how are you actually surviving now?
We are suffering. Our families are now suffering now.
How many kids do we have?
I've got 2 and their wife.
And what are they surviving on?
Nothing. He's selling fruits in the streets.
And what type of job were you doing there?
Just a driver, truck driver.
That was fired grid fuel worker Tichaona Nambare speaking with Studio 7 from Chisumbanje, Manicaland Province. Green fuel officials refused to comment.
Zimbabwe celebrates 35 years of independence on April 18. Starting Monday, Studio 7 will highlight some of the country's achievements and failures. Don't be left out. Send us a text or voice message on WhatsApp. Our number is 001-202-465-0318. You can also send us a message on Twitter, Facebook, and email. Our email address is studio7@voanews.com. The email address again, studio7@voanews.com.
Now it's time for the Women's Forum.
Welcome to the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women. I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. On the Women's Forum tonight, we are privileged to have Honorable Irene Zindi, who is here to recount her journey towards fighting in the liberation struggle as a young teenager. Honorable Zindi will take us through the journey that she took as a young girl to liberate her country at that time, named Rhodesia, until she came back in 1980 to a free Zimbabwe. Welcome to the Women's Forum, Honorable Irene Zindi.
Thank you so much.
What prompted you as a young girl to take that step to go and join the Liberation War?
It is quite a number of things that influenced me to have gone to join the liberation struggle. Initially, I can say it should have been something which was within the family, particularly if from my grandpa, dad, my own dad. He was very vocal, an activist of ZAPU, then ZAPU. Of course, as much as I was so young, I did not know what ZAPU was all about, but I remember that very well. Coming from his drinking sprees from Murapa Bar in Sakuba, Ontario, he would be singing his ZAPU songs. When he gets home, next thing, we would see the white Rhodesian police officers coming to pick Sekuru from home. I found myself convinced that I must cross the border.
What was your experience like as a young girl when you got to Mozambique? Were you given the same treatment as some young men that had also crossed over and were training to fight in the Liberation War?
I tell you what, my experience in Mozambique was very tough, very tough. As tiny as I was, I found myself being chosen to train as a military instructor, which I did, and I did very well. I was very good at my shooting. I found myself also being chosen to come into the operational front. The likes of Chiwenga himself, the commander of the army today, he was one of my commanders to come into the operational front. So Musa Gulandebele is one of them. The mate, Josiah Tungamira, is one of them. We came together into the operational front. And I'm talking of all these men wanting to give a comparison of men that I came together into the operational front, their positions, they were then awarded or given after the liberation struggle, comparing with myself as a woman. Chiwuri is one of the men that trained me in the same camp, trained me to become a military instructor in order to train other men to come into the operational front, which I did. It was a man also who came to the operational front. But look at his position and where I am. I'm not bitter about it, but it's just to show the difference and to show how our society still places a woman in terms of equal positions or decision-making in positions. That's the comparison I would want to show. And to still say that patriarchy, which is obtaining that characterizes our society in terms of how we look at women and men, is still very prevalent. Yeah, the women who were in the liberation struggle looked down upon by the very same men who are in influential positions.
Time is not on our side. Thank you very much, Honorable Irene Zindi, for having been our guest on the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women, hosted by Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye in Washington.
Thanks very much, Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. And now an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
In the oil-rich Central African country of Equatorial Guinea, a government crackdown on political activists continues. Last month, two opposition leaders, Guillermo Nguema Ela, a leader of the opposition party Republican Democratic Force, and party member Luis Enzo Ondo, were detained and forcibly moved from the island capital of Malabo to the nation's mainland territory. Equatorial Guinea's security services placed restrictions on their movements, effectively keeping them in detention in their home villages. No official charges have been filed against either man. Last month's detention follows the arrests and imprisonment in January of political activists who were peacefully protesting the government's use of tens of millions of dollars to host the Cup of African Nations football tournament. Despite the country's oil wealth and an estimated per capita gross domestic product of $25,700, more than 70% of its population is estimated to live on less than $2 a day, without access to basic services such as potable water. Recent unsubstantiated allegations in Equatorial Guinea's official media against opposition party Convergence for Social Democracy are of concern as well. The United States urges the government of the Republic of Equatorial Guinea to end these restrictions and harassment of opposition parties in accordance with Article 13 of the Constitution of Equatorial Guinea, which guarantees freedom of expression, association, and movement, and in accordance with its commitments under international human rights conventions. We also call upon the government of the Republic of Equatorial Guinea to allow political parties to register and participate freely in peaceful political activities, as agreed to during the National Political Dialogue in November 2014.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. And finally, in sports news, the National Paralympic Committee is halting local games. President of the Zimbabwe Paralympic Committee, Michael Bulanganwo, tells Studio 7 Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye they're using the games to scout for talent.
The tournament is quite a great occasion for people with disabilities. Remember, we participate in a variety of competitions, continental and international, and we are using this platform as well to identify athletes. Like for this year, we have athletes going to participate in the African Games in Congo, Brazzaville. So we use this platform to identify our talent for different competitions, including under-20s, those who participate in the African Games, and also those who finally get to the International Paralympic Games, like for next year, which Rio will be hosting. So the games are really important for people with disabilities because, you know, sport is a big business these days. Who knows, they may earn a living out of sport. And also, you know, sport also provides scholarships. Who knows, someone can end up, you know, getting a scholarship and doing both learning and sporting.
And what disciplines will be covered?
We are having athletics for the visually impaired, for amputees and the intellectually challenged. We are having goalball for the visually impaired. We are having football 11-a-side for the hearing impaired. We are having also football 5-a-side for the intellectually challenged. We are having wheelchair tennis for the spinal cord injuries. We are having wheelchair basketball for the physically challenged. Those are some of the sporting disciplines we are having.
That was the president of the Zimbabwe Paralympic Committee, Michael Bulanganwo, speaking to Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye from Harare. And now to recap today's top stories. ZANU-PF threatens to sue anyone who will use its name amid reports that a faction of the party, led by former Vice President Joyce Mchuru, is planning to launch a party named ZANU-PF People First. And more than 30 workers at the ethanol-producing company Green Fuel have been fired for demanding outstanding salaries. That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Chris Gande. This is Gibbs Dube in Washington, D.C., wishing you a pleasant evening and a very, very good night.
siyabonga Gibbs Dube siyalambulela emsakazweni weStudio 7 ngomgqibelo mhlaka 11 ngomabasa 2015 silethulela uhlelo lwezindaba zeZimbabwe sisakaza siseWashington DC.